Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence. We thank you for music, Lord, and we thank you that it is well with my soul because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate this morning Christmas, the coming of our Savior's birth. And we're thankful, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you just be with us. Be with those online with us. Be with those who are present with us here. Join our hearts together, Lord, as we look to your word for truth. And Lord, we look for peace and comfort that comes from its words and comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, just draw us closer to you this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, First Baptist Church of Rockland. Everybody's up close this morning. I like that. I can see faces really good. All right. Well, Merry Christmas. And I'm glad all of you are here this morning. And, you know, I can also say 2020 is almost over. And, that's more happier than Merry Christmas, isn't it, in some ways? This has been a year like no other year that we've had. No years in past that we can look at and say, well, that was like this year. No, this year was one of those strange years that it's never been like this. And there's never been a Christmas that we've had like this one. It's just different. And hopefully you've managed to get your shopping done because you've had a lot of challenges this year that you never had before. Maybe you've navigated the many ways. Just think of all the ways that we try to gather. And, you know, we've had to navigate all these different rules and different things. Maybe you're delivering gifts in person. Maybe you're having someone else deliver them. But it's been a challenge this year. It's totally different. What do you buy? How do you buy? And all these different things that we do. But one thing I can say is this Christmas is different. There's no way around it. It has a different feel to it. There's just everything about it. And I hope and pray that you have an opportunity to get together with loved ones during this holiday season. However you do that, what is safe for you or whatever how you're going to do that. I know some people are going to do it over online on Zoom and Skype and different ways. And some are going to gather regardless of what others have said. So, I mean, it's just that whatever you do, I just pray you have that opportunity to be with family because it's important that we're together. That's the one thing about this pandemic that we've had is just the separation of people. I've never felt so isolated before. I've spent a whole year this way now, and it really feels strange to me. But I miss my family, and I look forward to being with them. And I pray that you have that too. And I pray that the joy of Christ would fill your Christmas season. That's what I pray for. And we're here this morning. We're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the reason that we're gathered here. That's the reason that we all get together and sing songs and we praise. We praise Jesus. This morning's message is titled, Born for This. And it comes out of John 18:37, which is not your typical Christmas verse. But I'm not your typical pastor. I always find these obscure little verses, and everybody, you know, you go through this challenge. I've been preaching now for a while, so, you know, how do you do something different? You know, you preach, you don't want to preach the same thing. I'm not one of those guys that can reach back into the past and pull a canned sermon out. And then just redo that over and over again. If you've known me for 14 years, I've never done that, ever. I always preach a sermon that I feel God has put on my heart at that time. And so this is another one. You may recognize this verse comes out of the end of Jesus' ministry. It's at the end. And I was thinking and praying about this message this morning, and I came across this verse in my devotional reading because I'm reading through the Bible and I'm getting to the end of John and the prophets and all these things are coming up. And this morning I want to look at the Christmas story and what others have said about the Christmas story, and then I want to look what Jesus said about his birth. What did he say he was born for? And how that still impacts us today. And we can read from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and we get the picture of the Christmas story. I mean, we're all familiar with this. This is an old story, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you haven't heard or won't hear this week, but I'm going to share it again because it's an old story, but it's our story. It's our story. It's what we celebrate, and it's what we believe in. We know that the story of Mary and Joseph, and how they were engaged to be married when they realized that Mary was pregnant. I just imagine that for a moment. Joseph not wanting to disgrace her publicly, which says something about Mary's character. You know, he wanted to take care of her, and he wanted to do it quietly. He was not the father, but he would learn very soon that it was the Holy Spirit that had conceived a child in her. She has never been with a man. And through her, this prophecy from Isaiah was fulfilled. See, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. You know, just think, Charlie last week talked about the odds of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. What is the odds of a virgin giving birth to a son? That's pretty astronomical, if you think about it. I don't know if you could put I can't remember the word you use for 27 zeros, but it's a lot of zeros. There's probably even more zeros for that. Joseph, if we read in Matthew 1, 20 and 21, he'll be visited by an angel and who would tell him what has happened to Mary and to be encouraged and don't be afraid to take her as his wife. She's going to give birth to a son, the angel said. He said, she will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And we know that the name Jesus means God saves. So just imagine these two prophecies, these two names that are given to Jesus, Emmanuel and Jesus, God is with us and God saves. I mean, that's the story of the gospel, right? Encapsulated in the name of Jesus and his names and who he's known for. We know also when it came time to give birth that Caesar Augustus decreed a census to be taken, and that meant that everybody had to return to their hometown to be registered. And it's kind of interesting when you look at it, Joseph had to return to the city of David, to Bethlehem. And why did he have to do that? Because he comes from the line of David. And you know, you think about all the prophecies that talked about Jesus would be born, his father would be from the line of David. He'd be from the line of David. Not only is Joseph's from the line of David, but so is Mary from the line of David. So it fulfills on both sides of the genealogy that this is Jesus comes from the line of David, meaning that he comes from the family of David. You can look at his descendants, and it comes from King David. King David's in his genealogy, which is very important because that fulfills the prophecy. Because over and over the time in the New Old Testament, we see from the line of David, from the throne of David, will come a Messiah. And here we see Jesus come from the line of David, and he's born in Bethlehem, which is also prophesied. And she gave birth to her first son, born in a manger, because there was no guest rooms anywhere in Bethlehem for them to stay. And just think about that, the King of Kings, who came to earth, was born in a manger. The most humblest of beginnings, Jesus came. The first to learn about the good news of his birth were the shepherds. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. They're the lowly of the lows. They're up all night in the fields, keeping watch over their flock. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the shepherds were terrified. And I love this passage out of Luke, and so I'm going to read it to you. It comes out of Luke chapter 2, and it starts in 10, verse 10. And just the last word is that, you know, the shepherds were terrified. But an angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news, and great joy will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." And when the angels had left them, they returned to heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was laying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message that had been told about the child and all that they had heard, and they were amazed at what the shepherd was saying to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard with and were just as they had been told. It's an amazing story, and just imagine that. Next to visit was the wise men. And if you remember, the wise men had traveled from the east, and we don't know if they were kings. They were probably wise men. I would say that they came from probably the area of Babylon. You think about Daniel was there for an extended period of time. So they would have known some of the prophecies. They had probably read some of the books of the prophets and knew something was happening. They had some more details because they came and they told King Herod they had come to worship the king of the Jews, which probably wasn't the best thing to do because Herod was a very jealous king. And we know what happened. He went out and he killed a bunch of the children in Bethlehem. But before he did that, they said that they had seen a star in his rising and they had come to see him. And when those wise men finally arrived at the house and they saw the child, they saw Mary, the wise men fell to their knees and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They also gave him gifts fit for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew and Luke tell us this story, and we marvel at the thought that God came and was with us. And then he came as a child. I remember when I was in Saudi Arabia, and I was working with a lot of the Muslims in Saudi Arabia. I worked in a control center, and I'd have my Bible open in my M16. I always kind of tell that because it kind of went hand in hand at the time. But and I was openly reading my Bible. But they would come to me and they would say, the one thing that they would kind of ridicule me about, or they would try to, they would say, Jesus a baby. And they would start laughing. Because to them that was just an impossibility. An impossibility, because in their religion, Allah is all-powerful. There's no way that he'd ever humble himself and become a baby. But isn't that amazing about Christianity that separates us? Is that our God did. He came as a baby. He suffered and died for us. He did things that no other God would ever do. He gave his own life for us, which is just an amazing thing. And we celebrate his birth to this day. We decorate an evergreen tree symbolizing eternal life. We put up lights because Jesus is the light of the world. We exchange gifts because Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We know that verse. We memorize that verse and we hold on to it because he is the greatest gift that was ever given to us. We spend a whole month dedicated to this story, and it's a great story. And we treasure it all. We grow up with it. But what did Jesus say about his birth? What did Jesus say about his birth? John 18:37 is where we find Jesus saying something about his birth. It is at the end of his life. He has been tried by his own people. The very people that he came from have tried him, and they found him guilty of blasphemy by making himself equal to God. This charge carries the death penalty under the Jewish law. And he's standing before Pontius Pilate, who's the Roman prefect, which is like the governor. And the Jews have demanded his arrest, and they want him crucified. But under Roman law, they can't carry out the sentence themselves, so they have asked Pilate to do it. And so that's the scenario that we find ourselves. And Pilate pulls Jesus aside, recognizing that he's an innocent man. He knows he's an innocent man, and he's pulled him aside. He doesn't really want to do it. And I think even in the question that he asks, are you a king? He's looking for some way to escape this. Because in his conscience, like, because I think he thinks, well, if he says he's a king, and there's no other king but Caesar in Rome, so I can kill him and feel all right about it, because you can't oppose the Caesar. But Jesus tells him, my kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, his servants would fight for him. And this is where you get to the verse that we're looking at this morning. Because Jesus just told him that my kingdom is not of this world. And if it was, his servants would fight for him. And so Pilate kind of seizes on that idea, because he kind of hints that he is some kind of king. And this is the verse. You are king then, Pilate says, asks. You say I'm a king, Jesus said. He replied, I was born for this. And I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears the truth listens to my voice. That's what Jesus said. I was born for this, to testify to the truth. To the truth. And Pilate, right afterwards, I mean, I don't even think he probably hesitated. He asked, what is truth? Because, you know, just think about Pilate's world. He was in a world where lying and deceit were part of his whole existence. I mean, he lived in a political world, in a world where people were trying to get ahead, and they would throw you to the dogs in a heartbeat to get ahead of you. It is a world where human life had extraordinary little value. It didn't matter. Most people were slaves, and they ruled with an iron fist, and each one was out for their own. I think today's world, sometimes we look at it, that would be far worse to be in. And you fast forward to 2020, though, and we are all asking the same question. Just think about it. What is truth? We're all asking that question. We're all thinking about it. Because, you know, this year, for one, I can look around and I everything that I've held on to for so long seems to be gone. Things that I thought would never happen, never be possible, has happened. And the things that I used to stand on don't seem like I can stand on anymore. And I want to know what's true. And I know we're all asking that question in some way. Everything I once held on to true is gone, it feels like. And it feels at times, and maybe you can relate to this, that I'm on a ship without a rudder. And it just kind of like, where is it going? I don't know where it's going. It just feels strange to feel that way. And so what do we do in this time? And the only thing that I can think of that would sustain me and keep me from losing my mind in some ways is to find some truth. Find something I can stand on. You know, when you're, I don't know if you've ever been in like a river or taken by a stream, you know, and you're tumbling around and you don't know which way's up and which way's down, but your arms are flailing because you want to grab onto something. Right? And the very first thing that you come across, you hang on to for dear life, just to get your bearings, right? You just want to get back to, like, get your head above surface and find out where you are, and how do I get out of this situation? This is kind of like how I feel like where we are. So what is some truth that we can hang on to? What did Jesus testify is true? Because he said he was born for this, to come into the world and testify to what is true. So what is some truths that Jesus testified to? And this is the truth that we get from Jesus. And one of them comes out of John 17, 17. And if you're not familiar with John chapter 17, it is Jesus' prayers before he is crucified. And it's an amazing chapter in the Bible, because he prays for the disciples and he prays for you and me. For those who would believe in the word, he prays for them. He prayed for us all those years ago. And one of those prayers for us for this time was, sanctify them by truth. Your word is true. In other words, he says, God, set them apart by God's truth. Your word is true. Your word is true. The first place that we can look for the truth of God, the word of God, the Bible. That's the first place we can look to for truth. We can look to the Bible for truth. God's word is true. And it's where we learn about Jesus. All the Christmas story that we heard this morning that we shared and we share with each other, where does that come from? It comes from the Bible. We know that because it's in the Word of God. It's been preserved for us and given to us. It's how we understand the character and nature of God. It's how I can know Him. It's where we find out that we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God and that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where we learn that. And we learn that we need a Savior. We learn that there is a reason why Jesus came. Is it truth in God's word that we find Jesus saying this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not Jesus who exclaimed exclusivity that Jesus Christ is the way to God. He's the only way to God. He's the one that said that. That's not Pastor Steve or a bunch of theologians or any other people trying to make up something. It is Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It is Jesus who said that. He testified to the truth because he is the only way. The only way. We have all these other religions in the world, but Jesus doesn't include them. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But no other religion can claim to have a Savior who was born, who came and lived a life the perfect, that Christ that fulfilled everything in God's law and then gave that life for you and me, for our sin. He died for us. No other Savior in any other religion could say that. And then he died for it. And here's what separates him from all the others. He rose again. The grave didn't hold him. He lives. No other Savior. You can go to Muhammad's grave. You can go to Buddha's grave. You can go to every other religious leader's grave. But you can't go to Jesus' grave. You know why? Because it doesn't exist. He was only in it for 3 days, and he rose again. And so he can make that claim. This is where we find the Christmas story. It's how we learn that God saved us through Jesus. And Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Just think about that for a moment. The creator of heaven and earth walked among us. He lived with us, made his dwelling with us. And it is through him that we can know God. We can see God. We can understand him. We can hear his voice. We can read his words. Because he is the Logos. He is the Word of God. He is the Creator. He is all things. All things were created to him and for him and by him. And together they're held together by him, Jesus Christ. And that's why we can say in 1 John 17 and 18, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, he himself, God, and is at the Father's side, has revealed him. We've seen Jesus, we've seen God. You know, just think, when you get to heaven, when you see God, who are you going to see? You're going to see Jesus. That's who you're going to see. It is Christmas. We come together to testify to this truth. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's what we testify to. That's what Christmas is all about. He lives and he was born for this. He said, I love how he said it, I was born for this. It's the whole reason I came was this point in time, Pilate, before Pilate, he was going to die. And I was born for this time, for this moment, to testify to the truth. He was born to die for us, that we may live in him. And he knew it. And you just think about this for a moment. All of you are sitting here that I know of have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, and that you were born again. And you were born for this one thing, to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ. Your life is meant to be a testimony to the living Savior. All of you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Your life has been changed. It's never been the same. The Savior was born in your heart, and he lives there, and he reigns there. Am I right? There should be a lot of amens right now. If you're all alive, good. But he reigns in our hearts, and we testify this truth. The reason we have Christmas is to testify. It gives us a whole month to testify of Jesus Christ, who lives in our hearts. He was born and he lives in us. And we can share Christ with the world, that he was born and he came for this, to testify the truth that he came to live and die for us. I mean, what a testimony. What an opportunity we have to share in the gifts and all the things of Christmas because of Christ as our Savior. And no matter where we're at, this truth anchors us. It anchors our soul. It gives us a place that we can stand on, and it gives us a rock that we can shout from. And we can stand in the midst of all the chaos and have this one truth be an anchor for us. I'm thankful for that. And so I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I want you to think about what I've said today. I've said nothing that you haven't heard before many times from me, and you've read those verses. I know you have, but I hope they encourage you. I hope they give you a grounding. And I just want to close this sermon out by reading a hymn, a Christmas hymn. But listen to the words. Sometimes when we sing these songs, we don't, at least I don't hear the words because I have hearing aids. But so reading them is a lot better, a closed caption, right? But here's what it says. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long laid the world in sin and error pinning, like pinning, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope and a weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine. O night when Christ was born. O night divine. O night divine. Led by the light of faith sincerely beaming, with glowing hearts by his candle we stand. So led by light of the star sweetly gleaming, here comes the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lays thus in a lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus we rise. Let us all within us praise his holy name. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence right now, Lord. And Lord, O night divine, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ and that he did teach us, Lord, to love one another and help us to love one another. Lord, he is our peace, and let us feel and know the presence of his peace. Break the chains that enslave us all, Lord. The slavery of sin and doubt. And Lord, I pray that you would give us peace in these times, that you would proclaim the truth in our hearts, and then we would proclaim that truth to others, that Jesus does live, that Jesus did die for us, that he took his sins, our sins, upon himself. The wrath and justice that we all deserve, he took, and that through him we have grace, mercy, and love. And let us praise his holy name, Lord. I pray this Christmas season that you would bless everybody hearing my voice, Lord, that you would watch over them, protect them, be with them, strengthen them, and most of all, fill them with your presence, Lord. Let them know your joy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.